Hello there, yoga lovers. I'm your host, Christian Wiegert. I'm a yoga teacher in Sweden. I'm also a journalist, and I'm the founder of Yes Yoga and the co-founder of Yoga DJ Sessions. This is our New York special. Our aim was to visit three yoga studios in New York City. And we were especially interested in Voom Center, which is a studio, a center where they put a lot of weight on the importance of music for the total experience. And that's, of course, very interesting for us, where we see music as a very important tool and the bass as the mantra. If you have any suggestions for this pod, please mail us at info@yesyoga.se. info@yesyoga.se. Also visit yesyoga.se on the web, Facebook, Instagram, Spotify, wherever you can find us and want to find us. Also visit yogadjsessions.com. And why not visit the free yoga classes, yoga sessions at the Downtown Camper Hotel in downtown Stockholm on Sundays at 5 p.m. More coming up soon. Yoga Radio Sessions visits New York this time. And you could say that this trip was a trip of contrasts, of opposites, and opposites don't always attract. We went to visit three studios. Y7, it's kind of a business venture started by Sara Larsson Levey. And the company ranks number 80 on Inc. magazine's 218 list of America's fastest growing private companies out of 5,000. So this is, to quote Vogue magazine, yoga for people who put on gangster rap and can handle it. It was quite a nice experience in Williamsburg in a dark room with candlelights. And there was a mural on the wall, a text saying, "A tribe called Sweat." And sweaty it was when we ventured into this place where it was not like Bikram, but it was hot. We also visited Yoga to the People in Williamsburg, Yoga to the People, who is not so donation-based anymore. It was quite a shabby place, and we went for the Bikram-style yoga. Okay, but I think that maybe Yoga to the People have lost a little bit of its idealistic charm, and it's very hard to get hold of people to talk to them. I started something in Sweden called Yoga Revolt, which was inspired by Yoga to the People. I still think that they have something to give. So the last studio, but also the first, was Voom Studios in Bowery in East Village. And we met with Ilian Sack Shemesh. I think that's the right pronunciation. She moved to New York from Israel 13 years ago, and she runs the studio with her husband. That meeting came to an unexpected, it developed kind of unexpectedly, and we think it was quite fascinating to see how they integrated sound, music, even scent, an innovative yoga. It was visuals all around the studio, but also thoughts about the future and how to integrate yoga with some kind of entheogenic experiences. It will be very interesting to follow. But first, let's meet Ilian. We're presently in New York visiting the Voom Center, a yoga studio where we can see an integration of sound, visuals, and innovative explorative yoga. And I'm sitting here with, do you pronounce it Ilian?
Ilian.
Ilian Sack. Okay. So if you were to describe, if you were to visualize the vision and to verbally visualize what's going on here, how would you say?
I would say the Voom yoga experience is a multi-sensory take on vinyasa yoga that explores the senses as a vehicle towards self-exploration, and driven primarily by the therapeutic and psychedelic properties of sound.
Yeah, I think both you and I know that when we do yoga, sometimes we can reach states that are kind of a natural high. Mm-hmm. How come you make the connection with psychedelics?
Well, I don't make the I do make the connection with psychedelics, but with a non-ordinary state of consciousness. So, in the yoga tradition, we talk about the different koshas, the different layers of the self, and about samadhi, which is the ultimate state of consciousness, of experiencing oneness. I'm not saying that it's 1, 2, 3, practice yoga at womb and reach there, but the idea is to explore non-ordinary parts of self on a more regular basis. So if I connect that to the psychedelic experience, which is induced by plants or compounds that allow for non-ordinary states of self that are non-ordinary because we don't spontaneously, most often don't spontaneously experience them, but they are not separate from our capabilities, capacities as human beings. We really experience only a very small percentage of what we are capable of experiencing on a regular basis. So we know that through breath work, through prayer, through practices, also through physical practices such as dance, Sufi circles, and yoga practice, we can reach non-ordinary expanded states of being. So what we did here is take that idea of that sensory experience of a psychedelic journey and put it outside ourselves in order to induce the same inside ourselves.
And it's also a lot of positive hormones released.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and why did you embark on this journey towards womb? How come? You made a point out in the lobby that you're not American.
I'm not American.
Where are you from?
I'm Israeli. I moved to New York City 13 years ago. My husband partner moved here 17 years ago. We both had very different hopes, dreams, and aspirations when we moved to the Big Apple. And soon we found ourselves both together and pursuing gnosis, self-study and self-inquiry, and the secrets of the universe as our primary interest. We knew that we wanted not to keep it in the realm of extracurricular activity. We wanted to make it into a life. So our work is not a job, it's actually our life's work. And it's really only the beginning. We're really at the very beginning stages. We've been doing this for about 4 years. Womb has been open for 2 years, and we've both been doing our own share over the years, but as profession, I would say between 4 and 5 years is when we started really doing this.
So when would we see a franchise in Sweden?
Would you like one?
Yeah, I could stop one. No, but it seems like this concept is quite unique.
Yeah.
I guess that you might have discovered during your yoga journey that the yoga community and yoga as a whole is quite orthodox.
To be honest, we have this discussion a lot here at Womb because we are primarily vinyasa practitioners here. And it's funny, when you start exploring the different facets of yoga, the different schools of yoga, each school of yoga tries to claim yoga as their yoga as the yoga. So the Iyengars say that that's yoga, the Ashtangis claim that that's yoga, and so forth. And in vinyasa, because it draws from all of these traditions, and here at Womb, we draw not only from Ashtanga and Iyengar and from Desikachar, we also draw from
I could see that you draw some from yourself.
Definitely from ourselves. We draw from dance. We draw from Chinese medicine and Taoism and a really incredible school of yoga here that started here in New York called Katona Yoga, that's based on Taoism and sacred geometry. We draw from physical therapy exercises and myofascial release. So we draw from a variety of different things. So we really don't claim to know. We just want to learn more and more and more and more. So yes, there is definite rigidity to the yoga practice. And you know what? If you found a school of thought that works for you and this is your practice, all the power. I have no problem with people being loyal to their own practice. Between that and discrediting anything else that falls outside of those confines, that I disagree with. But again, I'm not here to educate or
condemn anyone.
Exactly, mm-hmm. I'm not here to condemn anyone about any of this. So. We are so aware that what we do here is not necessarily for everyone, and your avid Ashtangi might not be interested in this, and that's absolutely okay. We all find what works for us, and this we found really worked well for us, to have an experience and to be guided through an experience of self, very much like a plant medicine, psychedelic journey, ceremony. It's like kind of this hybrid of a ceremonial setting mixed with a club. That's also a ceremonial setting, and you know, ever since Studio 54.
We had the. I don't know if you saw. We usually integrate our yoga with DJs and club settings. Music is a key ingredient in the Boom experience. But I didn't hear Guns N' Roses.
Because you looked at my thing. Yeah, okay. That's right. Not every single time would I break out my Axl Rose. So the curated musical journey of the Womb Yoga experience is very specific. We only use one track that has lyrics to it, and we view that particular one track that has lyrics as a mantra. So we may not play Loka Samasta, but we may play Sweet Child of Mine, and that would relate to an overarching theme that we would bring into. So we wouldn't just use Sweet Child of Mine for no reason. There must be, or let's say Welcome to the Jungle, also a good one to use. But we would view the lyrics chosen for that particular experience as a mantra. So what is it there to teach us? Someone took time to write these words and to mean them. How can we relate them to our lives? Music has a way of touching us that I think no other art form is able to do. Music, no pun intended, but welcome, kind of strums the chords of our soul and in the most magical ways. So using words in songs, lyrics of songs as poetry, as mantra, is really what we're after here. So we really use them carefully. We don't just like throw them in for no reason.
And David is also composing music, or he's just kind of mixing together different kinds of music?
Your
husband?
Yeah. So David is also a sound practitioner. We both facilitate a sound meditation every Friday night, and he also guides a gong experience once a week and a breathwork experience once a week. He doesn't compose music, but we play a variety of different overtone emitting instruments, gongs, singing bowls, chimes, tuning forks, the chapakas that I played for you for Shavasana this morning, and so forth. So,
and you also work with scent.
We do.
Yeah, and can you tell us about that?
About the scent? Mm-hmm. Our essential oil blend, named Cheekily Womb Center, was created by a bioalchemist who works with only natural organic, ethically harvested essential oils from all over the world. We created a blend that was meant to evoke emotion, ground, please, and it's very highly inspired by non-ordinary states. We use ingredients from the holy temple incense, such as frankincense, oil, and myrrh. We have incorporated a lot of elemental ingredients, so oils that correspond to the elements fire, air, water, metal, wood, air, ether. So Petitgrain Surfleur, which is the wild orange, using the fruit, the peel, the seed, the flower, the leaves of it. So that's kind of, each of those corresponds to a different part of the, a different element. And it actually has like between 13 and or 15 different essential oils in it. So you got to experience it just at the very, very end. It's very luxurious and it's really beautiful and it kind of doesn't remind you of anything but here. So yeah, what else do you want to know about it?
I would like to know about the visuals. They are quite special and they range from cosmic or just starry nights to symmetrical patterns resembling a techno rave.
Totally. And there's stuff that you actually didn't see and I'll show you a bit later. We have natural scenery like a jungle and we have a beautiful ocean in Hawaii. And sky and nettles, so we have like a bunch of natural scenery as well. So kind of we don't really have that in New York.
You have other scenes. So back to psychedelics. There's been a sort of years of no research about it since the 70s, and now again it's a lot of research at Johns Hopkins or whatever. What do you think will happen in the realm of psychedelics? I know you're a Burning Man devotee.
Yes, I am.
What attracts you by Burning Man? Is it the participatory culture, or what's attractive, and what is it?
So I'll start with the psychedelic research. So there has been some psychedelic research since the 90s, actually, if you want to, there's a really good good book written by Dr. Rick Strassman called DMT, The Spirit Molecule, and that's also a movie, a documentary available on Netflix. It's true that now psychedelics and pathogens like MDMA are making a comeback. Michael Pollan just wrote a book, How to Change Your Mind, about his psychedelic experiences. So it's now becoming more accepted by the medical community to use these substances, these compounds as forms of therapy for PTSD, for depression. So I'm actually very, very hopeful. And I think it's looking better than ever. I feel like in many ways we are living in prohibition times, in a space where Xanax and Adderall are legal and given to children, tobacco alcohol are celebrated, and compounds that are actually not harmful to the body in any way, cannot be overdosed like psilocybin mushrooms. Or overdose in a very, very high dosages would need to be taken for overdose, and cannabis, which is still not legal recreationally in New York, are not legal. So this is a very absurd time that we live in. But it makes sense because people want to make money, and the pharmaceutical companies are really a big risk of losing everything if these things become legalized.
Do you think that maybe in the future yoga studios like Voom could be a kind of base for a responsible integration of psychedelics.
It's our dream.
Because otherwise, it's a lot of young people, they take it without having the intention, the
setting, the integration. Absolutely. This is our ultimate dream. The moment this becomes possible and legalized, we will be the first ones to sign up for this. Right now, we do not touch upon it because it's not legal and it's not worth the risk. But we really very much believe in this work. Which brings me to your second question about Burning Man. What is it? Burning Man is a temporary city that rises from the dust in Lovelock, Black Rock Desert in Nevada once a year for a week-long adventure, and then returns back to the dust as if it was never there. This is a very, very short elevator pitch about it, but it draws about 70,000 people there yearly. And I think the greatest appeal to me, because it's not an easy place to be, it's not a vacation in the Bahamas, right? It's the natural, it's man versus nature a lot. It's hot, it's dusty, it's challenging, and it's very much like a giant church or synagogue. It's a place of worship. This is what I find. So you'll find people looking to go there for a variety of different reasons. One of those reasons being to let loose and do whatever they want to do, whatever freedoms they don't give themselves permission to have during their daily lives. They give themselves those permissions to just like break free. And some go there to seek answers, to release, to invite and welcome, and to explore and to dabble in their own consciousness in a really powerful way. So it's kind of like when you go to church or a synagogue or a mosque or a temple, and you have an experience with other people all having a similar conscious frequency, everyone having the same kind of collective intention of being kind, taking care of the land, taking care of each other.
In Sweden, for example, we have urban burn, we have various kinds of...
Regionals?
Regionals. Do you have it in New York as well?
There used to be. It didn't work so well. There was one called Gratitude Migration. New York is already Burning Man year-round. It's pretty crazy here. This is a very, after all, a very conscious city. I feel like it's the freest place in the world. If you want to walk around in the streets and quack like a chicken for a week wearing the costume, no one will care. You can be whoever you want to be here.
Like the Berlin of the States.
It is the Berlin of the States, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or Barcelona or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
So you mentioned the synagogue. What does your religion mean to you? Are you a devotee of Judaism or something? Or are you unorthodox?
I'm very, very unorthodox. And I have to say that only through my spiritual quests I became more aware of the beauty that hides in Jewish mysticism. I began to explore Kabbalah and to read and explore the wisdom of various spiritual Jewish leaders, rabbis and such, who speak about the relationship between the mysteries of the universe, science, physics, and the written word of ancient texts. So it really is all one and the same. If we really start cross-referencing instead of trying to find why things are separate, we will find that things are in fact the same and all trying to get into one specific truth.
So do I understand you right if I say that you also in your spiritual quest, you don't stick to one part? I mean, it's like life is an ongoing process of just searching, and we will never probably reach the perfect group or religion.
Absolutely, and I think we all have to learn from each other so much. So whatever whatever information I can gather, that's my vinyasa. That's how I'd like to flow through the world with this cross references, with connecting the dots. Oh, I just heard a really beautiful talk about neuroscience that really connected to something that I heard in a Kabbalah lecture once. How interesting is that? How what a beautiful moment to be alive, to really notice those things.
To ask about something completely different,
yeah.
You have two dogs.
Just one.
Just one. Yeah. What does your dog Shapiro mean to you?
Everything.
Why? Explain.
Oh, well, have you met him?
Yes, I met him, and I also saw the movie yesterday by Wes Anderson. You know the
which one?
The one about the dogs.
There's a Wes Anderson movie about dogs.
Yeah, it's animated.
Oh, I have to see it.
Yeah, you have to see it.
It's
very much about dogs.
Okay.
All the time.
So why Shapiro? I feel like he's a gift to this world. You know, in English, God and dog are kind of mirror images of each other. In Hebrew, dog is kelev, and also translates into kelev, which is like heart. They are here to just show us how powerful unconditional love is. So I have this creature that loves me unconditionally, and I love unconditionally, and hopefully that can teach me something about how to keep that going for all of my relationships. It's not easy because humans are not as great as Shapiro and other dogs are, but Shapiro is actually the best.
Of course. Objectively speaking.
Completely objectively speaking. So I feel like he's one of my greatest teachers into how to be kind and soft and forgiving and compassionate by the example that he sets, but also the way that I feel about him. I want to feel this way about everyone. Not saying that it's a very easy process, but to see the little cute child in every single human being, that's the challenge and that's the goal.
But also you live in New York, you love New York, but New York can also be tough, and you have embarked on the entrepreneurial journey, and I'm sure that you discover that you have to have, as we say in Sweden, sharp elbows sometimes.
Sharp elbows. Even though I've discovered this, I don't think I'm still capable of it. Luckily, I'm an entrepreneur in a space that is filled with just beautiful people. I get to spend all of my time with the most incredible community to share ideas and co-create magic with an incredible team of people, including my husband, David, and our yoga director, Francesca Bove, who is an incredible yoga monster. I get to work with my sister, Eleanor, who is our designer and does all of, you know, I get to create with the community, both with my students, and I get to meditate, and I get to move my body and feel joyous as my job. That's insane, unheard of. So I don't really need to develop sharp elbows, as they say in Sweden.
But so something must have been difficult.
There are a lot of difficulties, and
What has been the most difficult challenge in creating the company?
To move beyond my ego. Really, what I spoke to you today, this morning, I feel like that's to not let that lead me, even when it wants to grip and it wants to hold on to the show and to run the whole show. But this is my idea, but this is my place, but this is my class and my students and my money. It's not about that. It's about the bigger picture and about all of us coming together and creating a space for people to feel safe and secure to become better friends with themselves. So what we're really trying to do is become better friends with ourselves.
So what you're saying is that it is possible, even under a sharp capitalistic, in a sharp capitalist society, it's possible to keep your values and to not let yourself be dominated by your ego?
You know, I think it's absolutely possible, and I see people around me in this realm doing this pretty well, or at least that's what it looks like from the outside. I can't say that it is not without its challenges.
But you're still making money.
Well, yeah.
Put spread on the table.
Let's just say this. It's probably easier anywhere else. This is not an easy... This is a city that makes everything a little more difficult. The rent is really high.
And the taxes.
Taxes are really high. Payroll is really high. Everything is really, really high. So we have to really work hard. And sometimes there's really stressful moments. How are we going to finish off this month? I don't know. You know, the summer, for instance, is a time where the city is completely empty and you have to get creative on how to draw people in and how to make the month, how to make ends meet at the end of the month. But
tourists, young tourists or
well,
all age
people
tourists.
from Sweden coming in.
Yeah, my daughter gave me information about this. She's here often in New York, and she's always keeping track of the most interesting.
Has she been here?
Yes, she has been here. So this was her first. She thought that this is the one you should go to first.
Oh,
also, one question about another yoga studio, Yoga to the People. I know that this Yoga to the People place has meant something for you.
Absolutely.
And I have been to Yoga to the People a few times, donation-based, I informed the listeners. And it seems that everybody always gets a spot on the floor.
Absolutely.
Even though it's 2 millimeters to the next mat.
Absolutely.
So tell me, what's the importance of Yoga to the People to you?
So that was where I found my yoga. That's the place where I started practicing 5-6 times a week, going every day and just showing up on my mat. It was where I got my first training. It was where I found this as my first spiritual practice. This was my first spiritual practice, so it means a lot to me.
And I think that the donation-based ideology it works here. It's harder in Sweden. I tried to start something like that in Sweden, but people had a hard time to understand, okay, what's donation-based? Okay, I don't have some... Maybe I don't have to give anything. And I said, okay, bring a pecan fudge pie or whatever.
Yeah, they have a good system going. I don't think anyone can do this. I think it was, there's a really good businessman standing behind that operation.
Who's that?
His name is Greg, and I'm not sure his last name, what his last name. He lives in Colorado, I think. But there are a bunch of them, right? There are a bunch of Yoga to the Peoples around the city.
Yes.
So he's doing really great, making yoga accessible to everyone, doing teacher trainings. And I think that's really great. It's a really great way of entering into the practice, especially if you're a student or someone with a little less means, to just be able to put a dollar or two in a donation box and practice with people and move and sweat and feel. It's amazing.
So if you were to recommend one book, which book do you give to your friend when you go to a birthday party? Or is it something you would recommend that we should take?
Just one?
Oh, you can have five if you want to.
Okay. I would start with Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. Volume 1. I'm about to start volume 2, so I'll tell you about that some other time. It's a 3-volume book, and it's beautiful. It's absolutely a stunning piece.
Is it on the Eckhart Tolle range, or...?
Yeah, but not as serious. And it's whimsical and full of wisdom, and it's not about meditation. So Eckhart Tolle is at least The Power of Now is about the power of meditation, essentially.
And also he's like rewriting the Bible in a very simple language.
Yeah, is he doing that?
Yeah, but I mean, that's how I read his book.
The Power of Now?
Yes.
Okay.
But that's my interpretation.
Fantastic. Okay. Great, I like that interpretation. The second book, Jitterbug Perfume by...
Sounds like a novel.
It is a novel.
Great.
Tom Robbins. It's... Jitterbug Perfume.
What a title.
It's fantastic.
I would read that, definitely.
Read it. Mm. The Holotropic Mind by Dr. Stanislav Grof.
Okay, I was just going to ask before about holotropic breathing.
Yeah.
Have you tried that?
Oh, yeah, we do it here all the time.
Yeah, you
and
do.
And I'm trained in a similar... and I've done it with Dr. Grof, too.
Wow. Once.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still alive.
He is amazing. He is like my David Bowie. I'm his number one fan. Yeah, he's fantastic, and I really recommend the practice too.
So holotropic breathing, for listeners, when research into LSD was banned in, I think, the late 60s, then Stanislav Grof turned to this holotropic breathing as a sort of alternative. And so it's possible to reach the highs without any chemicals.
Yeah, it is possible. It will be different. So I think the holotropic breathwork practice is a practice. You have to show up again and again, I feel. It's not a one-off. And it is an experience, but to really gain the benefits, this needs to be explored time and time again. Whereas when you ingest or go under some kind of influence of a compound, this could be a one-time experience that you experience something that is beyond anything that you've ever experienced before. So I think they should be co-experienced and not choose just one, you know, at your own whim. Know exactly where you are in your own practice and what it is that you're ready for, and not do anything because everyone is doing it or you feel pressured to do anything.
So when you don't do yoga, what do you do?
I nap.
You nap.
When I don't do yoga, I run a business. I do sound journeys, and I'm mostly, my life revolves around this.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for this. Is something that you would like to add to our listeners?
Are your listeners mostly in Sweden?
Yes, but we have also a global following.
Fantastic. So I would love to see all of you at WOOM sometime.
275 Bowery.
274 Bowery.
274 Bowery, sorry.
Second floor. And come, we'll welcome you with open arms.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So please visit WOOM at 274 Bowery. And in connection with the pod, you will have all web addresses and links, etc., and also the your favorite books.
Gorgeous.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A new consciousness in the world.
So a final commercial announcement. Keep track of what's going on in the yoga world in Sweden on yogatrender.se. You have to handle Swedish on that webpage though. Also, if you're interested in wonderful yoga mats in Cork, visit naturligyoga.se. So see you next time. And actually, the next part will also be about the connection between yoga and music. We will meet Mateusz Krawiec, who is a Polish-born yoga teacher living and working in Sweden. We look forward to hear about his path towards yoga and the gong experience. Thank you so much. See you later.